Hey, everybody. I'm Chad Eckert, and that's Joe Idoni at Tour Picks. You can find us at Preferred Lines on Twitter, but you're probably watching this on YouTube or listening to it on iTunes, or you stumbled across it, you're new. And our goal, Joe and I's goal, each Monday evening, is to provide hashtag not expert analysis, just banter regarding the betting board each PGA tournament. We do each week with a guest, a smarter person than us, maybe an actual tout, maybe an actual expert, but that's what we typically do. It's the fall swing, so we've kind of taken a little bit of a backseat to forcing someone to talk to us. Because let's be honest, nobody's volunteering to talk to us. So with that said, if you've got something to talk about or you're in the industry and you want to be on this podcast talking betting with us boys, hit us up on Twitter, DM us.
For sure. Looking good, man. Yeah, it's hard to sometimes wrangle these guests up. So we're going to save them and keep them in our pocket for big time events. Not to downplay the Shriners at all. Excited about it. Vegas, baby.
Not a bad field.
Not a bad field at all.
Right. So should we get right into the field? Is there anything we need to talk about before we crack the beers and get into the
betting
board?
Should we talk about Surge?
We could. I feel
like we should say something about Surge.
Sergio, with his eyes closed. You're on YouTube. You can see me. It's not like it's the first time I've ever heard someone putting with their eyes closed to get field, but that's like the country club guy on the practice green. Like, this isn't a real pro in a tournament. And then claiming now that he did it through the Masters. Like, I don't believe that.
It's quite outrageous. I can't believe he won doing that. Yeah. I do feel like I had a pretty good week despite not hitting the winner. Had a positive week. In DraftKings and in gambling, you know, Denny came through with a nice top 10 and I was close. So I feel confident in where I'm headed just because the narratives that I went with were kind of there. So I went with, you know, historically elite player that bombs it. I just had the wrong one. I picked Stenson over Sergio. I went with, guys who are shorter hitters who have previously had success and won at that event. You know, I had Armour and Taylor, and Malnati was right there. So I feel good about how I attacked the week. I just didn't pick the right one, and I don't think many people did given his current form, but unbelievable ball striking. Like, it's not surprising with Sergio, but down the stretch, a couple of those shots, the one on the par 5 and the one on 18, were unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the fact that he was able to knock in that, like, I would have been so nervous to have that winning 4-footer and go with the eyes closed. So I was like seeing if he would actually do it, and he did it. And
I was excited. I was hoping it'd be like a 16-footer.
Right.
But whatever. He almost made it on 17 doing the same thing from about 20 feet. So whatever, if it works, it works. And you know, it's all about feel, and it wasn't working not doing that for Sergio. And we had been betting him and he'd been letting us down quite a bit over the last few months. And it just wasn't, I don't know. I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. I didn't care about 70. It was still not enough to make me want it. So I didn't have any Sergio, but I'm on Team Reed now.
Hashtag Team Reed.
Check out this. You know, this is a reason to watch on YouTube. Is I got this Justine Reed autograph, dude.
Where in the hell did you find that?
Lord, okay, I'm on eBay, you know, trying to spruce up my background, trying to get some cool stuff, and I'm like, dang, autographs are cheap. Like, I haven't looked at autographs in decades, probably. But so I'm like, oh, an M1. So I got an M1. I think it's like $40 shipped to me today. And then I'm like, oh, Patrick Reed. I love Patrick Reed. I looked at Bryson because I wanted a backwards Bryson signature. They don't exist. And Bryson's actually like $75 for his autographs because he's the U.S. Open champ. So I was like, damn, I can't get that. But what about Patrick Reed? Did you do APPR? Oh, Patrick Reed. And then I'm like, oh, Justine too?
That's epic, dude.
Gosh. Yeah. So I had to cop that.
That's hilarious. She signed
it. And then I get it in the mail. Dude. Look at how weak this signature is by Justine. Can you see
that? It makes me wonder if it's like real. Are you sure you didn't do that with like a
I know, it looks exactly. Pen? So I get it in the mail from the guy off eBay, and immediately I I think it was like midnight. I was drunk buying this stuff or whatever. So I never, I was like, just do an autograph. Got to be real. If it's on, ain't real, whatever. So I fired off, bought it, got it. And I'm like, what the hell? So I'm a little nervous. So I DM the guy. I'm like, or on eBay, you message him or whatever. Where did you get this? How did you even get this? So apparently a long time ago, like a couple years, he says, they were like offering, he won something in the Euro event. And then they were offering like autographs. And then like you could fill out something and send it to his team and they would send an autograph back. And he got it back with Justine's autograph on it. So that's what he claimed. So there we go.
Hilarious. And to kind of cap it all off, today was a big day for you because you got a follow on Twitter from Mr. Patrick Reed. So we're big time Team Reed now over here.
Yeah, follow back. So that's great. I mean, first I was like, what? I'm blocked? Aw. And then I'm like, oh, wait. He unblocked me and followed me. What a great day. So good drama over there on Twitter. On my Edina Real Chi. Follow me over there. Go look at that drama. Should we get to the betting board? I'm thirsty. I want to crack my beer and crack open the betting board for the Shriners. Cheers to you, Joe.
Cheers, buddy. Monday. Let's go.
All right. At the tippity tip top, you have Bryson DeChambeau. He is back. Once won this a couple years ago, and he maybe is the king of the Shriners, the king of TPC Summerlin. He's here 7.5 to 1. Oh my God. Wow. That's aggressive. Mm-hmm. And he's got a win, like I said, 2 years ago. He had a T4 last year, T7 a couple of years ago. Patrick Cantlay, 2, is also the king of TPC Summerlin.
Yeah.
But is he not? Why isn't he next? It's Webb at 10 to 1 and Patrick Cantlay at 12 to 1. Interesting.
Yeah, I think Cantlay is he's there because of his course history. What, 2 seconds and a first? I think he's never finished worse than second here, which is pretty incredible. But, gosh, the form has just been really shaky with him. It's going to be tough for them to see a lot of tickets, I think, on that number with Patrick Cantlay this week. And don't forget, the year that he won was kind of a little bit of an anomaly year, too. With the wind, I know it is supposed to be kick up this week, particularly on the weekend. I mean, it's Monday now, so who knows? But I don't see the winner being anywhere near -9. Bryson is interesting at the top because he's playing so well and he's so confident and he's got good course history. Everything kind of lines up for him to win here. But do you expect a little bit of a U.S. Open hangover, so to speak? What do you think?
Yeah, you got to. Everybody likes a ramp up. Everybody likes the excuse of I'm rusty and I needed a couple rounds. Scheffler pulled that last week. We saw he kind of heated up as the weekend got on. Now, Bryson is a different human, and he may be able to just come in here and pick up where he left off. We've thought he solved the game of golf a few times now. He's done enough to solve the game and then win. He went on an epic run through the summer and he won at the Rocket Mortgage and he came back out the next time and he threw up a dud, I believe. So you got to kind of be careful, especially, dude, at 7.5 to 1. I mean,
yeah.
And this field is not a joke of a field. This has got some juicy names. And I mean, you got like Finau and Hideki at 16. I mean, that doesn't really scream value to me when neither of them win. So, I mean, 7.5, maybe it's good compared to those names. But the 20s, I don't know. I feel like he is truly, clearly the class of the field, Bryson. But I think 7.5 for 1 is too rich for my blood.
Yeah, no, same. And same thing with Finau. I know he likes this type of desert golf, so to speak. Just a little bit of worried about some stuff that came out sort of, against his character with the
millions
thing. And it's just a little bit, I feel like that had to be on his mind a tad. Plus,
so Joe's referring to an article that came out over the weekend that Tony Finau is apparently being sued by somebody for about $16 million. I mean,
yeah. And that's not like check. What, if you actually read it, it's not uncommon that some of these guys will need a financial backer to get their career going. And somebody steps in and sees a couple of talented kids like Tony and his brother Gipper, I think his name is, need a little bit of a financial assist in order to get their career going, and they expect future returns. A lot of times it's a handshake agreement. So that's not uncommon. At first I thought it was going to be totally false claim and someone just trying to get it. And it may still be that, but at the same token, anytime you're getting sued by someone for $16 million, it's got to weigh a little bit on your mind. Plus it's not like Tony has had a propensity to come out and win golf tournaments as the fourth guy on the odds board. I'm more looking, honestly, I think when we get to that 20 range, I think Colin Morikawa should be the third guy on the odds board here, right behind Webb Simpson.
Totally.
He should definitely be ahead of Patrick Cantlay. He should definitely be ahead of Finau, and I think he should be ahead of Hideki as well. Not only has his form, he was close to being the PGA Tour Player of the Year. He was close to being the best player on the PGA Tour post the COVID restart. Plus the fact that he's got a little bit of he had the Northern California narrative at the PGA, but he lives in Vegas. He's a Vegas resident. He's sleeping in his own bed this week. Should have some familiarity with the course. So at 20-1, I have not bet it yet, but I have my eyes big time on Morikawa.
Oh yeah, go lock button that thing. And I got a bunch of money on Colin Morikawa. He's my favorite bet of the week. 20-1, I feel like that's gonna drop. Hideki probably will slide, Finau will slide, maybe Cantlay too. Maybe not, though, with the course history. But, yeah, I like Morikawa. The 20s, dude, is where we've made our bed. We have slept well, buttering our bread here in the 20s. And I'm going to do it again with Morikawa and Wolf too.
Yeah, there we go.
Come on, dude. 25-1 in this field. We've seen what he's capable of doing now. This isn't like – old Wolf, where you're not sure he's just come out onto the tour. No, he's now proven it, and he's gotten better and better in each showing. So at 25-1, we're gonna now listen. It was last year when Scheffler was in this field, and he was in the 50s. He was 8,800 on DraftKings, and I said to myself, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be one of the last chances we're gonna get these dudes at these numbers for the rest of their careers, pretty much at the Shriners." Come on, so. 25, jump on Wolf, get on that, get on Morikawa. The young guys, they're here. It's time.
Yeah, I'm in on Wolf. I've already bet it 25-1. I think he's going to be a popular pick this week. I think coming off the U.S. Open, he cemented himself as a real deal threat to a lot of people. I mean, you and I have known this for a while, but a lot of people are going to be fully on board Wolf. He just is a great guy to root for. I love his style. I love that these fairways are pretty open. He seems to be in a great comfort zone right now between coach, caddy, golf, life. Like, everything just seems to be really settled, and he's really mature for his age, and we talk about it a lot. He's a winner. So I don't think the final pairing of the U.S. Open, the stage was too much for him. Bryson outplayed him significantly and played one of the best final rounds in arguably U.S. Open history. Compared to what the field was shooting, to him going under par in that final pairing was so impressive. I don't discount Wolf for that. I think he made a couple mistakes, but he'll learn from it. He's young. It's a good setup for him. I'm in 25-1. Enough said.
Joe, I graduated high school 2003. I'm LeBron James's age. I watched that draft class because I'm a big Wolves fan, and they're always in the lottery. So 2003 draft, you got LeBron, Carmelo, Wade. That's like what we're seeing with the Wolf, Hovland, Morikawa, Scheffler. This is it, boys and girls. It's the future. It's right now. So go with Scheffler too, and he's 30-1? Why? So that's a hammer, lock, button, Scheffler, 30-1. Oh, we skipped over English and Day. I mean, I don't know. They're decent values, and English has had a pretty good run here post-pre-COVID. Day shown flashes, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the 30s. I'm going to grab the young guys this week, dude, and I got Scheffler at 30. Do you want Fowler, Casey, or Louis O? I mean, that's what you got in the 30s, and then you got M, who, of course, bet M, another young guy. So do you want to go old guys this week in the 30s or young guys, or are you going to mix it up?
None. None for me.
No Scheffler?
No Scheffler for me. Why not? I didn't like what I saw from him last week in his opening and closing rounds. He found something a little bit in the middle. I know he came in really popular. He came in as the favorite. But look, I don't know how each of these players handle it, but these guys are so used to a regimen and golfing every day. I shouldn't have said golfing. I know it's going to upset some people, but playing golf every day and practicing every day. And, you know, Tuesdays I'm with my short game, my putting coach. Wednesdays is workout. So I assume he had to go through the 14-day quarantine post COVID and wasn't able to practice. Some guys in the rust of that showed. He shouldn't have been the favorite last week coming into it off of that. Still a little bit concerned with it, and it's just a low number for me on Scheffler when he hasn't, you know, top two, top three in a long time. Sungjae, I just don't think it's a great fit for Sungjae. I don't feel like it is. Bent grass, wide open fairways, birdie fest. Just not in on Sungjae on those type of environments.
But saw the anger. I love the anger emotion from Sungjae. First time I've ever seen it.
It was nice to see. And it was, you know, you wonder if something like that can get him fired up and a little bit of emotion and a little bit less robot, humanizes
him. Dude, I was concerned for a minute there that maybe he doesn't care. He knows he's got to go do this military obligation. He got his win in his $1 million. He's 21 and chilling on $1 million. Like, it's pretty much set for life. We already know this. So you kind of thought maybe, but when you saw him, he takes the ball and he's mad. He gives it to his caddy back or whatever. He's just kind of like, argh.
He didn't make many putts. Yeah. He had reason to be upset with it, but he did have a Sunday.
Six on Sunday. So
he came back on Sunday and he actually, if you look at all the guys at the top of, you know, DraftKings pricing wise, like the top nine, he paid his value with that finish. The other guys, most of them disappointed. Definitely not in on Ricky this week. Anniversary, Vegas, not in good form. Just going through swing changes, totally out on 33-1 there. So I'm skipping over everyone. And then Sergio at 40 coming off a win is you cannot bet that.
No, thanks. Yeah. You know, not even like JT or DJ repeat. So you think Sergio's going to somehow gain six strokes or more putting again? Doubtful.
The one thing you did mention earlier, I kind of want to circle back to on Bryson, how he's had a couple of duds coming off of a win. Mm-hmm. He also did go back-to-back once in the playoffs, FedEx Cup. So not many players I can think of, you know, besides maybe Brendan Todd, and I don't even know who else have ever won back-to-back events, but – mentally speaking, I think he is set up to do it. If anyone would be able to do it and not take that U.S. Open win and take a couple days off and kick the feet up and have a night out and some beers with the boys, it's probably Bryson, who had the protein shakes and a workout at 7 a.m. the next morning. Back ready.
You're totally right. I mean, like, it's just the fact that you got to pay to get it. And you got to, like, if you're going to go top five on it, then it's not fun to get, you know, a minus 140 on a top five or something. You're like, that's not fun.
It happens. Right. It happens. Right.
What about Will Zalatoris, the name that's the 50-1 range? He's the only one there. And he is 55-1 after being the kind of the darling of the DK industry. Do you have any Will Zalatoris love? Are you one of those?
No, I don't. I just don't. I'm waiting for it to drift a little bit more. You know, he only had one win, I think, on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. So it's not like he was just cruising and dominating. He's a great player. Yes, there are some attributes of his that should lead to future success, but I'm going to wait till his number sort of drifts back down into playable status in the 80 to 100 range. I'm looking at Bovada right now. He has drifted to 66, which is a little bit obviously more attractive than 50, but I'm not on the Will Z train just yet.
He did tell people that he was tired after his top five, his back-to-back top 10s. He was tired. And so he came in last week because he kind of had to, even though he didn't need it because he got some money. And he was tired and he missed the cut. So I don't know. You could go back there. I wouldn't be that worried about it, but yeah, you're paying a little bit for Will Zalatoris when you can get the names in the 60s, dude, are actually good names. Jason Kokrak's there, 60. Joachim Niemann is 60. I like him. I'm on a young guy card this week, so he's on it. ZJ, not on it, because he's 150. Answer, 60s. Cameron Davis and Cameron Smith, I like both of those guys. They're at 60-61. I'm considering both the Camerons. Am I crazy on that?
Well, I like Cameron Davis a lot than Cameron Smith. I was kind of shocked at Cameron Smith's numbers. I realize that he's kind of circled the wagon, so to speak, these last couple events, but Cameron Davis has been red hot. 66 seems like a totally fair number. I am not, though. I will did make a bet on the first guy you mentioned, who is Joaquin Neiman. It just seems like a good fit for him. I like the fact that he has three straight top 25s in good field events, played well at that U.S. Open. Really good in terms of his shorter irons and wedges. Good player there. Putts his best on bent grass, which we're back on this week, which should present some familiarity to him. The other thing is this course is at quite a bit of elevation, actually. And he grew up playing with that. So it's very similar altitude-wise to what he's familiar with there. And the last factor why I like Neiman this week is obviously the winds they're projecting now early, you know, 20 to 30 mile an hour on the weekend, which is substantial. And Neiman probably has one of, if not the lowest ball flight on tour. So when the wind tends to ramp up, he can kind of keep it down under that level and usually plays very well. Wind goes up, usually his scores go down. So that's why I like Neiman this week at 60. And I have some interest. This is going to sound a little bit wild, but he came through for me a bit on DraftKings last week, and it's Zach Johnson.
What?
He's kind of turned it around a little bit, man. When you look recently, so his last four events, he's gained 29 strokes.
How many with the four
events? A lot, but he a lot, probably half is with the putter, but that's what he does. That's what
True. So that's true. Yeah.
It's one of the shorter playing courses on tour due to the altitude and the overall yardage. Par five should all be gettable for Zach. Even the reachable par four should be gettable for Zach, and his wedge game is phenomenal. He's coming off some good vibes after winning that Payne Stewart Man of the Year award. So four straight cuts made. Like I said, he's gaining about 6-7 strokes per event there and has really kind of turned it around. And I think this might be a decent spot for Zach Johnson. A little bit of a reach, but it's just kind of a gut play for me.
No, and I've kind of watched this a little bit because Martins likes him for some reason on the Fantasy Golf Pod. If you're doing fantasy on DraftKings, my buddy Eric and I, we talk on Tuesday nights. You can find that. And he likes Zach Johnson for some reason. You know, it could be because he's ramping his game up and he wants to get a little bit more focused for the November Masters, where we know he's a good Masters player. So, hey, he's got a little rejuvenation. Payne Stewart, Man of the Year. Zach Johnson, who? I don't know. Maybe. Should we talk?
I don't know. Who knows?
Long shots, but not too long. Like under 100-1. Cam Champs here at 75-1. I like that. I like Doc Redmond. Why is he at 80? He's a player.
Yeah, Doc, I'm not going to miss this 80. I've been on Doc for so long now, and he's so close and does so many things really, really well. I think the win is coming. If it's 80-1, you know, my cutoff for him is around 65, 70-1. You price him above that in just about any field beside a major, and I'm going to take that bait. I looked a little bit at Lucas Glover, too.
I think he withdrew, didn't he?
Did he withdraw? Okay.
I'm not sure. I think
his odds are listed on one site and not the other, so that's likely true.
He's good course history here, so I'm pretty sure I remember looking at that, and then Rob Bolton tweeted.
Ryan Moore was that other one with good course history that withdrew, I know. But yeah, I'm gonna have a piece of Doc for sure at 80-1.
So it looks like Glover and Moore withdrew earlier today. You have a couple open qualifiers that Rob Bolton just tweeted out. Rob Bolton at Rob Bolton Golf. Michael Gilgic, everybody likes. He's in. Got Spencer Levin. I think he's been around, done something. Matt Wilson, never heard of him. And George Markham, never heard of him.
There's something to pay attention about this, and I've noticed a little bit of a trend this recently of last guy to get in the field has ended up playing really well. I think last week it was the guy, I don't know exactly how to say his name. Is it Defoe or Defoe? Yeah,
MJ or whatever. MJ Defoe.
Unreal. I don't know how Matt Every finished, but he started out really good, and I think he was one of the last guys in too. So it's almost like these guys come in there without the chance to practice, and they just show up, and they've been playing well. So keep an eye on these last couple guys to creep in, and the Monday qualifiers have been playing well, and they're usually really low-priced.
Okay, let me ask you about a couple of the darlings of the DFS industry and that everybody kind of likes to bet on. That is Joel Damon. He's at 100. Any interest?
No.
What about HV3 at 110?
Thought about HV3. I don't know. I'm not betting it. I don't really have a good reason not to. I just don't. This isn't the course that I see him popping at. But what about, I like him.
Now, Ben on was something like 20 to 1 last week or even less, and now he is 110 to 1. Why? What is up with Ben on and the odds? I don't get it.
I think it was just a bad missed cut. But Ben on is one of those guys that I know my buddy Ryan Barif would tell me just never play him.
Right.
But it's one of those guys where you see, you know, he tends to, when you three digits in front of his game, it deserves a glance, right? And not 20, especially when you see that much of a drop in a single player. I don't know what his stats looked like last week, if it was a couple bad holes or if he just played like shit overall. But no, the only guy, I do have one guy in this range, and it's Brendan Steele, 110 to 1.
Yeah, that's your guy. You like him.
You're right. He's on my card a lot. Brendan Steele, his numbers have just been pretty good lately, and I like him on these sort of desert elevation type tracks, you know, Barracuda, Desert Classic. You can even go to Waste Management. Those type of courses seem to be a good fit for Brendan Steele.
Okay, well, then there's someone that also could be a good fit for Las Vegas. Viva Pep Perez! Do you like him at 125 to 1? He's a big Vegas guy, isn't he?
He is. I do like Pat Perez. I don't and I think he's a member here, if my memory serves me correct. So he should be very familiar with the course. That's an interesting play. I glanced right over him, but I do see could be a good pick there. Who do you have?
Because last week people were on him, and they were on him for Pass Palom. Because Pat Perez passed ball, and he's kind of disappointed
at Corrales, yeah.
But I think he was in a look ahead spot to here, where Joe, there's no fans anymore. He doesn't have a guy that everybody bugging him for tickets, and hey, are you gonna hit me up at the bottle service midnight? Blah blah blah. Come smoke a cig with me, Pat Perez. Like, no one's gonna be doing that. He's just got his own course.
Pat Perez is the guy who's mailing it in early for a good night's sleep out there in Vegas. He's out there, he's on the tables late night grinding.
I like CH3, and at 125 to 1, you could do a top 10 bet on that and feel comfortable with maybe that potential there.
CH3. Let me ask you about a guy really quickly. Sorry to interrupt you, but I've seen him on a lot of people's cards and a popular pick this week. Aaron Wise.
Right.
100. Right.
Well, okay. You know, the narrative there is that he's kind of a nerd. He got snubbed by his girlfriend on a kiss when he won. Remember? So he's kind of like, he's not going out partying in Las Vegas until midnight every night. So he'll be focused. He's kind of like that Patrick Cantlay Bryson guy who's winner and does well here because they just go home and they focus on where am I going to hit the ball next day and not where am I going to hit the eight ball that night. So
I saw a lot of people early clicking Aaron Wise and waiting for it to come out after really one good week in a long time.
Yeah, I'm not, it didn't even cross my mind to be quite honest.
Okay.
So what about, I'm going to ask you about this guy who we haven't seen for a while, Francesco Molinari. 125 to 1. He's back.
I'm so glad that he's back, but I'm not going anywhere near 120. You might as well flush that money down the drain. He has no shot of winning. No shot.
Why not?
But it's just great to see him because you don't just show up after like a year hiatus and waltz onto the PGA Tour and win. Like, you don't. He's not going to do it.
No, okay. He was this golden god for a while.
I'd be very surprised if he made the cut this week, and I'd be happy for him to make the cut, but no way I'm going near that. There's other guys there who have been in form and playing well and who are cool. You know, they may not be as – the upside of talent may not be there, but their form is just there. You know, I took Henrik Norlander a little bit at 125-1. He's playing so well right now. Had another good finish last week. He's just posting top 20s. He putts really well on bent grass. And
his name is Henrik Norlander, so he gets no respect. He's $6,700 on DraftKings, and I'm like, should I use this guy? Like, what's wrong with him? And there's nothing wrong with him. DraftKings just doesn't price appropriately sometimes because they're using the algorithms that the casino uses, which is just trying to get you to put money down.
Right.
So anyway, now I got a couple of long shots. Should I go through those, or do you have any long shots?
Tell me who you got first, and then.
Home course narrative kind of thing with Pat Perez. You got Scott Piercy, who I believe he's a home course guy. I don't know if that's true, but he's from Vegas. He likes the area. He likes it here.
Fan favorite.
Dude, listen, he missed the cut last year, and I was on it thinking it, you know, but it was like maybe there's too much pressure. Well, no pressure this year because there's no fans, there's no obligations, and we've seen him perform. Scott Piercy has been 10th in 2018. He was 7th in 2014. He was 6th in 2012. Couple of more top 25s for Scott Piercy here. I'm into it. Camilo Villegas, 225-1. Don't do a lot of money on this. Do a dollar and just hope for a long shot with a little bit of the, you know, narrative too. The guy lost his daughter. So playing with a heavy heart. People want to see things happen. Narratives happen. And I'd love to see it. And not only beyond the narrative, Joe, Camilo Villegas was hot with his irons last week. He gained 7.3 strokes with his irons to the field. That's a lot. And lost 5.7 with the putter. So Villegas was hot with his irons, bad with his putter, still finished really well at this event last week. So a 220 or what is it, 250-1? Oh, my goodness. I'm into that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. You got to root for Camilo. Big time there. Scott Piercy, now that you mention it, is very, very interesting. What was the number you got on Piercy?
250. No, oh my God, dollar. Like, that's all I need on that.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about putting the dollar on 250-1. Do we really believe in our heart that he's going to win? Fuck no. It's going to be one of the top guys. But if it comes down to Sunday and you got $250-1 on this guy, on Piercy, well, then you can get $90 on Bryson, and you feel like you're going to make money either way, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we keep doing.
Opens up some opportunities, absolutely. So two guys that I have, both, God, pretty random, but the first at – both at 275-1. The first is Kevin Chappell, was the first bet I made today.
I saw your tweet, Joel, and I'm nervous.
You don't like Chappie?
Well, because he putted too well. That's
always – he does putt well, though.
And then it wasn't POA either. So I'm like, oh, my God, it wasn't even on POA and he was putting well. It was just like a recipe for disaster. Now,
it could be, but how much of a disaster could there be at 275-1? What do I lose, $5?
No, that's true. That's like I used to like get into it with the people about putting and whatever. Like, you know, people putt too well. And then it's true. They just like can't continue to putt that well. And then they finally miss a few and they're bad again.
Okay, so it's a birdie fest. Obviously, we've seen...
We know he's talented. I know
through
that.
Here, but we've seen, you know, Kevin Na, who gets a red hot putter. That's how Kevin Na wins. But the other...
Oh, yeah, he didn't even gain any strokes tee to green last year, and he won.
Is just giving yourself the most opportunities, right? So you look at guys who are off the tee and ball striking and approach really well. They don't have to gain as many strokes putting if they hit three or four more greens during that span. So Chappell's been pretty good off the tee recently. His last 24 rounds, he's ranked 11th. He's 18th in ball striking. He does get a hot putter. Is he consistent with it? No, but he can ride that to a -8, -9 round and then throw a couple 67s together and he could be in it. The other really random stab that I took, another guy who off the tee and ball striking numbers have been really well, has not been putting great, but tends to on bent grass and tends to play these desert courses really well, is Marty Laird. Random. But I just look at the narrative of Waste Management. which kind of sets up as a similar course to me. It's like he seems to always be the darling in DraftKings and, you know, guy that's 100-1 at the waist because he has a couple of like seconds and thirds there. So those are my two guys at those really deep odds, but I'm going to take a look at Scott Piercy because I kind of like that. And Matt Jones really like fires off when you look at the stats. He's one of those guys. I think it's just one of those guys like Kokrak that just are just built to pop up on Fantasy National every week, but never perform to their stat level. But somehow he's 13th in strokes gained out of the entire field. I don't know how, but we'll see.
Well, he had a good week a couple weeks ago when I was making fun of Bagels for picking him in his sixth lineup.
Home is a big number too. Home is 200 here. Plus, which he is, you know, he's usually at a big number around like 125 to 150. He's 225 at max. And he gets a little wild off the tee with his driver, but the open fairway should suit him a little better when there's not much trouble. You know, there's not much rough.
Sure. Well, Joe, you know what I want to know is I want to know who I like, and who I like is Wyndham Clark. Okay. So I'm going to bet him because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet guys that I like. Wyndham Clark typically, well, I mean, even in the year 2020 was ranked really high with his putter, and he somehow was the worst putter in the field last week. Well, that doesn't make any sense. 400-1 for Wyndham Clark. Do that. Because you know what? There's nothing worse, Joe, than seeing your guy come down 18 on Sunday, tip his hat to the nobody in the crowd, but they're, you know, just walk up, win the tournament, and you've got no interest on that person. It's the worst. There's nothing worse than that. So make a card that will provide you with the least tilt. And if that means you only bet $1 or $1.50 or $2.50 on one name, do it. Bet 16 names. Don't let anyone on Twitter troll you into not doing that. But have fun.
What you're saying is I have to bet Denny McCarthy, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. How, dude, it would – like literally, I was even having it a little bit with Sergio last week because I had been bet him at the PGA Championship like a dumbass in whatever July or whatever, and now I'm not going to get the win, even though I kind of felt it was coming. Other than the putter, like Wyndham Clark's that guy. So, just for example, if you're going to bet five or six guys, just throw a couple at the end that you will have a FOMO on for $1. Who cares? For fun.
Yep.
I don't know.
Cool, man.
So that's about all I got to say. And you know what? Listen, do we really think that our five or six names are going to win?
No. I mean, we hope. We understand that there's 156 guys in the field.
Yeah. The chances are they're not going to win.
And we've just had Hudson Swafford and Sergio Garcia who
– And Stuart Cink.
And Stuart Cink went to win the last 4 weeks out of nowhere.
Yeah, where were the experts with those picks? Exactly.
There's no predicting it. You might as well, like you said, take guys that you like, take guys that you want to root for, and just try to hope that it's the right week for them.
Nobody makes money betting on sports, Joe. It's predicting athletic performance. Like, are you joking me? Don't do it if you're thinking you're going to make money doing it. Do it for fun and entertainment. And if you need to seek help because you have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Jesus.
Big time, 1-800-GAMBLER. Call them.
All right. Now, call them after this week because you're going to win this week off of Morikawa or Wolf, right?
It's Morikawa or Wolf week. I feel good about that. I think it's time for the Wolf Pack to come through and finish one out here. Three-stroke win for Matt Wolf. Calling it here on Monday night.
Well, we are a pro Wolf podcast, so we're a little biased in that sense. And if you don't trust us with Morikawa and Wolf because you think we love them too much, then go with a Scheffler or M or Neiman or Champ or Redman. That's my card.
Or just bet Bryson.
Yeah. Or Team Reed. Bet Patrick Reed on that Euro event. I don't even know what they're playing, but he's over there.
The BMW Championship. Actually hit it last year when Danny Willett won. But Patrick Reed, is he the favorite over there?
Probably. I'm sure. How is he not the favorite? He's the best golfer of all time. He's my new favorite best friend.
Let's go, right? Just fucking show up over there at the European Tour for 1 week and wreck house and take it down, P. Reed. Dude,
win it all and then go with thanks to all my fans, the Team Reed, Edina Realty, and all of my fans.
well, I know you've got two big fans now on Patrick Reed, and you know one of those burners that are following you is definitely Justine now.
Totally.
Cheers, baby.
All right. I got to go. I got my kids sleeping. My wife's about to get home. We got to get this over with. Let's do it. Thanks for watching, everybody. Rate, review, like, subscribe, all of those things. You have not seen an ad. You will not hear an ad because we're ad-free. We do this for fun. We do this out of the goodness of our hearts to provide you entertainment. And maybe someday, Patrick Reed will follow you.
We hope that you enjoyed it. Come see us again next week. Same time, same place. Cheers. Love you guys.
And maybe we'll have some giveaways.
We will have giveaways. Oh, t-shirts and hats coming soon.
Boom.
They will be ready this week. I'll tweet out some pictures of them. Could be an opportunity if you like watching us to support us a little bit. We'll send you some gear. Cool?
Cool.
All right, buddy.
Good luck.
Take it easy. Enjoy that final fall weather up there in Minnesota before you can't golf anymore. Get out on the links.
I've got a couple tee times already scheduled this week, boys.
Atta, babe.
Let's do it.
See ya.
Peace.